गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय। गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोधा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोधानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनाचारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी 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 जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्रीमत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की व्रज भूमि वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा द्वारका धाम की मायापुर नवदीप धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय यमुना माई की जय तुलसी देवी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय भागवत धर्म की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज all glories all glories all glories to shri guru and shri gauranga om namo bhagavate vasudevaya ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 टू 22। अर्चिर नाम महाराजनी तत्पत्नी अनुगता वनम सुकुमारी अतत अर्हा च यत्पाद्यम यत्पाद्भ्याम स्पर्शनम भुवा। अर्चिर्नामा महाराज्ञी तत्पत्न्यानुगतावनम् सुकुमार्य तदर्हा च यत्पाद्भ्यां स्पर्शनं भुवा। अर्चिर्नाम महाराज्ञी तत्पत्न्यानुगतावनम् सुकुमार्य तदर्हा च यत्पाद्यं स्पर्शनं भुवा। अर्चिर्नाम महाराज्ञी तत्पत्न्यनुगतावनम् सुकुमार्य तदर्हा च यत्पाद्यं स्पर्शनं भुवा। अर्चिर्नाम महाराज्ञी अर्चिर्नाम महाराज्ञी तत्पत्न्यनुगावनम् अर्चि नाम महाराज्ञी तत्पत्न्यनुगतावनम् सुकुमार्य यत्पाद्यं स्पर्शनं भुवा। माताजी, यू लाइक टू ट्राई? अर्चि नाम ऑफ द नेम अर्चि महाराजनी द क्वीन तत्पत्नी द वाइफ ऑफ महाराज पृथु अनुगता हु फॉलोड हर हस्बैंड वनम इन द फॉरेस्ट सुकुमारी वेरी डेलिकेट बॉडी अतत अरहा हु डिड नॉट डिजर्व च ऑल्सो यत पाद्भ्याम बाय द टच ऑफ हूज फीट स्पर्शनम टचिंग भुवा ऑन द अर्थ। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। द क्वीन wife of Prithu Maharaj, whose name was Archie, followed her husband into the forest. Since she was a queen, her body was very delicate. Although she did not deserve to live in the forest, she voluntarily touched her lotus feet to the ground. Because Prithu Maharaj's wife was a queen and also a daughter of a king, she never experienced walking on the ground, for queens used to never come out of the palace. They certainly never went to the forest and tolerated all the difficulties of living in the wilderness. In Vedic civilization, there are hundreds of similar examples of such renunciation on the part of the queens and dedication to the husband. The goddess of fortune, Mother Sita, followed her husband, Ramachandra, when he went to the forest. Lord Ramachandra went to the forest in compliance with the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharatha. But Mother Sita was not so ordered. Nonetheless, she voluntarily accepted the path of her husband. Similarly, Gandhari, the wife of King Dhritarashtra, also followed her husband into the forest. Being the wives of great personalities like Prithu, Lord Ramachandra and Dhritarashtra, these were ideal chaste women. Such queens also instructed the general people by showing them how to become a chaste wife and follow the husband in every stage of life. When the husband is a king, she sits beside him as the queen. And when he goes to the forest, she follows despite having to tolerate all kinds of difficulties in living in the forest. Therefore, it is said here that although she did not want to touch her feet to the ground, she nonetheless accepted all difficulties when she went to the forest with her husband. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana-shalakaya Chakshurun-militam yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamineti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Mancha Kalpatarubhyasya Ripasinduya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradhayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Kvanto, chapter 23rd, titled Maharaj Prutus Going Back Home. So today's verse, first time, last several verses we have been hearing and discussing about the glories of Maharaj Prutu, and first time here, first and several other three verses, it is just mentioning about Queen Archie. She was never there in the picture. Now she suddenly comes up and Prutu Maharaj never spoke about her. But what role she must have played in his administration or in his day-to-day life, in his day-to-day sadhana, in taking care of the subjects and taking care of the family members. It's a very profound thing, which is... So now, today's verse, we can see her chastity in the form of she voluntarily, she herself decided, it was not necessary, but she said that wherever he is, so I have to be with him. That's what is Vedic culture. So it is said that, of course, nowadays marriage as an institute is a big question. The question people ask, whether is it necessary to get married? Because so many marriages are breaking up, there is no stability. So why should anyone get married? There's a big question about. So, my own experience when I used to meet my, when I was quite active in my practice, so I used to come across young girls, because they come for their appearance, and from different parts of India, because Mumbai is a metropolitan city, so you get a chance to meet people from all different culture. So of just curiosity, of course, I used to ask them, it's a very personal question, I'll ask you, what do you think is the right age to get married? So I was overall, very rarely I got it that it should be 23. The age what I found was 28 years. So naturally I asked, why 28 years? So this is a common response I got. Because when I do my graduation, I am 23, 24. Then I have to take a job. Then I have to establish myself. Then I have to stand on my feet. Then I'll think about getting married. So then I would further extend my discussion, ask, that why do you have to take so much trouble? You will be married and your husband will be earning. So you can just be there. So you'll be shocked to know that I don't want to be dependent on his earning. And the next thing was, I don't know whether my marriage will work. So I want to be prepared. If it doesn't work, I can take care of myself. So even before you get married, you're already prepared that it may not be stable and I am willing to. So now this is what is the situation, which is, of course, we are catching up with Western culture. So now these glories of marriage, what is the purpose of marriage? Like one sense, this question, what do we have to get married? But Prabhupada in the purport says, to save people from becoming cats and dogs, marriage is important. Because if you don't stick to one woman and you have the freedom to just move around, then you will behave like, it goes to both sexes, but especially for men, then you'll be always looking out for some partners because you don't have any responsibility. So So now here, Queen Archie is a very extreme case for, we may say today if I give this example, people may feel that, oh, this is too much. I mean, why should she be undergoing so much austerity? But this was what was Vedic culture, so that at a certain age, even if the king was fully successful and was administrating, he had all the, and in this case obviously he was a devotee. But then at a certain time, he left this palace, and you see that they are in the middle of the forest, that means there is no one around them to assist them or help them. You are living completely isolated life, not only isolated, you are completely dependent on Lord, whatever the Lord can provide. The herbs, the roots, the fruits, the leaves, whatever falls. So in today's verse, this verse which we chanted, it is said that queens, they usually don't leave the palace. They are protected within the palace, so they don't step out of the palace. So there is no question about they putting their foot down on earth, because the earth's surface is very rough and their body is very delicate. But she willingly accepted it, this, all these austerities. So, and in the subsequent verses, it is said that she was very happy doing it because she was serving her husband. Now the question may arise that where did she get this type of inspiration, chastity and commitment to do this? Where did she get this? Obviously, from her husband. It goes without saying. A woman, if she has to be very chaste, unless she has got that type of protection, appreciation, respect, care, encouragement, she will not be like that. So in our discussions always we talk about women as a person who should be very submissive, and many times people say that, see how Sita was so submissive. But the most important question is, yes, she was submissive, but her husband was Ram. So if you are like Ram, then you have a right to say that your wife should be like Sita. So the responsibility falls on husband, that what type of example he is setting, what inspiration he is giving, what standards he is setting in the house, and how he is also taking care of her. Because male ego is such that you take it for granted, you think that you are very detached by not being very neglectful. You think you are very detached, and we can be very harsh sometimes in public, or just to show that, well, I don't care for my wife, you know. But the truth is that a man, when he is very responsible, caring, respectful, giving her shelter, emotionally protecting her and encouraging, so all these things, it's a great responsibility. So in this case, it goes without saying that Prithu, of course, is not saying it, but we know that this is what a life he lived, and she is showing her own example by accompanying him. She is going with him. So does it mean that wife is the one who gives protection? We only talk about protection to wife. But what about husband? Does husband also need protection? Yes, husband also needs protection. If the wife is very chaste, she is a protection from. So before that, of course, as far as sense control is concerned, it so happened that once in one of the prerna class, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving. So at the end of the class, one person asked this question. Maharaj, in material world, we hear that behind every successful man, there is a woman. So now you have been a very successful preacher, you're a spiritual leader, you're traveling all over the world, and you have so many followers. So who is the woman behind your success? So there was a stunned silence. Everyone didn't know what, because Maharaj is a sannyasi. There is no question about any woman inspiring him to be a spiritual leader or sannyasi. So he said, Srimati Radharani. So for a person who is in the renounce order, for them the protection is, it's not that everyone needs a chaste wife for their protection. Why this protection is mentioned? Because as we hear in Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter, it is said, Indriyanam hi charatam yan mano nuvidhyate tadasya hasya prajnyam vayur navam ivam basi. So these senses are roaming, they're very active. So with the mind and senses, even if it focuses on one sense object, the whole thing will be, the intelligence and all will be kidnapped. It will, such is the power, even for a person who is in the renounce order of life. It is not that person, it's only for materialistic people. So the analogy given is just like a boat in the middle of the ocean. It gets swayed away by the wind. Similarly, the whole intelligence. So when the intelligence is swayed away, your actions, your thoughts, your behavior, everything is not in a very favorable direction. So those who are in the renounce order, obviously it is not recommended that, oh, I need protection, so should I get married? Because it is said that a wife is, a chaste wife can protect you from these type of senses because she will keep in control. No. So if a person renounce order is very rigid in his practice, is very strict in his ashram rules, then the same protection what we talk in grihastha life, he derives it through Krishna, Radha and spiritual master and association of all devotees. So there is no need. But it is very interesting that in this context, I just remember there is one verse from 3rd canto where Kashyap Muni is talking to Diti. Now, Kashyap Muni, he brings out the glories of a chaste wife. No doubt Kashyap Muni is a very ideal husband, he is. But here he says, just 1 minute, huh, Prabhu. Sorry, I'll go back to. Sorry. 20. So, this is very interesting what he says. He is telling to his wife Diti, Yam ashitendriyaratim durjayan itarashramay vayam jahe mahela bir dasyun durgapatir yatha. As a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers, by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses which are unconquerable in other social orders. He's saying if the wife is there in this social order, she is like a Durgapati. Durgapati means it is like a man's body is compared to a fort. And the body is attacked by many types of sense objects. And he easily becomes victim of this type of allurements. But she is the one who stands next to him as the commander of that fort. And she protects him from these plunderers who come and attack him. So this Kashyap Muni is saying to his wife that how great you women are. So she acts like a fort commander. Otherwise, a man, it's a very high chance that, you know, his senses are roaming and is deviating and all. But she, by her sweet, kind words, and she presenting herself as, you know, which makes him so satisfied. So when a person is very satisfied, there is no need for him to be agitated. So this is one point related to today's verse where Queen Archie's glories are mentioned. So woman is compared to Durgapati. But the previous verse, Kashyap Muni, again he says, I will not read the verse, I'll just read the translation. O respectful one, Kashyap Muni is saying, Diti, a wife is so helpful that she is called the better half of a man's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activities. A man can move without anxiety and trusting all responsibilities to his wife. So where the question about marriage and stability and divorce comes, traditional Vedic culture says that once a man marries, there is no question about separation. Why? Because they become one. She becomes Ardhangini. Ardhangini means the better half. So if she becomes one, that means two souls, one body, how can you separate? Means you have to separate, means you have to cut into two pieces. So the separation happens only when the husband dies. Or, of course, she takes to Sati. So this is a sacred relationship of an husband and wife. Traditionally, Vedic culture, there is no question about separation. Why? Because the purpose is something very glorious. The way Archie and Prithu Maharaj, for higher purpose, so there is no question about anything, any other reason. Because the foundation of most of the marriages are sensual, or they are because of something external, and the external things don't last long. So when that disappears, so immediately that attraction is gone. The attraction is gone, the sense gratification is not there. So no sense gratification means I change, separate. But the commitment comes only when the purpose, when they get married, is for what purpose? So when it is for some higher principle, all the lower differences, they are resolved. So they remain together, and what to speak about remembrance, she goes with him. At certain stage, a man doesn't remain continuing his, you know, material responsibilities. He wants to devote full time because that is the goal of his life. That is a real success. But that time she also comes. So Prabhupada gives the example obviously about Ramachandra and Sita. So we have several such examples of a chaste woman. So how, not only that she accompanies, but how she assists. Now this is like the example of Kardama Muni and Devavati. Now Devavati also was a princess. Now Kardama Muni, even before he could ask what he needs, he knew it. She would keep the right thing at the right place at the right time. That was her understanding with her. This is how she used to assist. So she also obviously totally devoted, and you know the power of that chastity, what it resulted in later. Lord Kapila Dev appeared. Of course, a woman who is very chaste and devoted, she is also very composed in difficult situations in life. So she gives wise advice. For example, Wali's wife, Tara. When Wali came again, Sugriva came again, she said, I warn you, I'm sure you had already defeated him. He has come back again, so I think you should be careful. So this is where she could see it. And she was right. Similarly, Mandodari, even though her husband was a demon, but several times she would warn her husband that just give up Sita. But Ravan was so obsessed, he never listened to her. So a chaste woman not only assisting and protecting what we discussed, but she also advises. And to this verse where Kashyap Muni is saying you become better off means a man can give all responsibilities to a woman, because here it is said better off, because most of the responsibilities performed, especially the sacrifices which a man has to do, it is always done together. And along with that, he has so much faith and confidence in her that he just leaves everything on her, and he just, this, that's why she is called the better half. So of course, other, as a mother, what to speak about, that was one of Arjuna's reasons that why he should not fight the war, because if the men are not there, the women will not be protected. And Varna Sankara, the population, what will be? So women are the one who actually give real samskaras to the children. So they are the one. So that's why it is said, even a sannyasi and a brahmachari and everyone, they come from grastha ashram. That's the only ashram which is producing, right, progeny. But according to the samskaras, what is given, that type of quality of a person is there. So in, of course, about as a mother, that itself is a big subject that, you know, we can go on talking about. Someone did a research in UK, and they put value to all the activities a housewife does from morning to evening. Like, you know, she gets up in the morning, then she cleans, then she cooks. So you put a value. Then she gives bath to her children. Then she drops the child to the school. Then she comes back. Then she cooks. Then she washes the clothes. Then she again, when the husband comes. So all these activities, if you put a value to it, it comes to a very large amount. So as a mother, as he said, no, the mother's work never ends. A housewife's work never ends if she's working. So it's very interesting that many of the people in the past who are very successful, they would always relate it to the mother. I learned this from my mother. Even if he may be a president, but where did you learn this? But nowadays people don't talk. They said, no, this my mother taught. So mother is the one who gives samskaras. So in Madhva Sampradaya, they give sannyas at a very early age, 10, 11, 12. So when the child, when he takes sannyas, everyone from the village, irrespective of what age they are, they come and offer obeisances. Except for mother. She doesn't offer obeisances. And who offers obeisances to her? The sannyasi. He offers obeisances to her, expressing his gratitude for giving me birth. So this is when we talk about chaste wife, what exactly it means. It is not something very ordinary. Of course, today's day we cannot copy paste, and but still the essence, because I just mentioned about, is there a need to get married? Why should you get married? Because you don't know the why, the purpose of marriage is very glorious. The objective, what you achieve with this type of a balance, and full satisfaction. So that's why this relationship is very sacred, provided, yeah. So again I repeat, but not at the cost of we asking that she should be having all these qualities, but these qualities naturally appear when husband is qualified. So here Prithu's qualities we have been hearing for last several days, how he administrated, how he took care of the earth, he took care of how he associated with the sadhus, and what questions he asked, and what to speak about. He had darshan of Lord. So naturally his wife, she had all the courage to go with him, and she was so fearless. So the other verses, we will just try to cover, because today it is two or three verses. I'll just read the translation, and we'll see what Prabhupada. Although she was not accustomed to such difficulties, Queen Archi followed her husband in the regulative principles of living in the forest like great sages. She lay down on the ground and ate only fruits, flowers and leaves. Because she was not fit for this activity, she became frail and thin. Yet because of the pleasure she derived in serving her husband, she did not feel any difficulties. So there are three levels of women at level. One is she is a pativrata when her husband is alive. Then she is a sadhvi when she is a widow. So as a pativrata, we already described, how she lives. But as a sadhvi, when that is one time when there is a separation, because husband dies, so she is separated from her husband. She stays with her children, grandchildren, but she lives a very austere life, and by her own example, she instructs all other family members of how a life should be lived at that age. So she is sadhvi. And the third one, which is of course not practical now in this age, is sati, which comes in the next verse. When Queen Archi saw that her husband, who had been so merciful to her and the earth, no longer showed symptoms of life, she lamented for a little while and then built a fiery pyre on top of a hill and placed the body of her husband on it. So we saw how Prithu prepared himself to leave his body, you know, all those things which are very complex about his taking to Ashtanga yoga type of principles. But here, now she is wife, she's always been with him. So she noticed that he has left. So for a short time she had that lamentation, oh, he's gone. But see her courage now, and there is no one there in the forest, just two of them. She immediately took charge and she set up a funeral pyre on the top of the hill. And the next verse, it says, this is the one which very shocking today if we speak about it. After this, the queen executed the necessary funerary functions and offered oblations of water. After bathing in the river, she offered obeisances to various demigods situated in the sky in the different planetary systems. She then circumambulated the fire, and while thinking of the lotus feet of her husband, entered its flames. Even now, there are certain areas where a woman willingly does, but it is unheard of and it is not legal. But then why do they do that? Because for a chaste woman, her life is meant only for her husband. She was living for only his service, and he was such an exemplary husband that she just serving him, there was no question about her destination. Wherever he goes, he will or she'll automatically go. She gets 50% of whatever he does by default, just because she is assisting. So when her husband dies, the pain of separation is so intense that she thinks that, why do I live now? So she voluntarily submitting her body to the fire, that pain is nothing compared to the pain of separation. So this is willingly done. So what happened is, in I think some areas in India for during the British time and all, sometimes they were forced that now your husband died, so you have to accept that. See, that is forcing. How can you force anyone? So obviously this is, but the essence, the principle is just bringing out this intimacy and the loyalty and the chastity of being together and becoming one. So there is no separation. There is only separation is at the time when husband dies. So we, of course, now it's very common, we know that. So in US, once they did a survey and they found out that the divorce rate has dropped. So you may say, oh, that means US people have become very civilized now, because there is no divorce rate has dropped. So the truth was, once you get legally married and you want to separate, there is so much complex legal hassles. The alimony and this and that, and so much painful, the properties to be divided and all. So why should we get married? We will decide as far as possible, live together, And when the right time comes, if we don't like each other, we separate. Now this is what Prabhupada says in the purport, that to save society from becoming like cats and dogs, marriage and an institute should be protected, because a man will remain with one wife, otherwise he will be a debauchee. He will be always looking out for, and he will exploit many other women. So this is the trend where we see that the culture is because of poor education, and by Prabhupada's mercy, we have been given this. Prabhupada must have written this fourth canto, means maybe the 70s. Prabhupada is writing, this is what was the state going on that time in US. So we are catching up. We also have here in, it's a very common now, live-in relationship. So that's same as cats and dogs. Of course, too harsh to say that, because marriage as an institute, that sacredness is lost. So it is very natural that the only the sense enjoyment part is what you want. So each other, they accept this body as a agent for sense enjoyment. So when the enjoyment doesn't last, then there is separation. So this way there will be consequence of that, will be many these single women, divorces and husband, no stability, no family, no stable family. And when there is no stable family, where is the question about developing spiritual culture? So everything goes down. So marriage is one of them. So I had spoken to His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj. I will try to keep my class short, and then I'll ask you to speak. So if I have anything else, I think this has. So in conclusion, it is the glories of a chaste woman, the power of chastity, and husband and wife relationship in connection with vanaprastha life, and finally perfection of. So that's what is Queen Archie's personality is coming up. And from tomorrow onwards, the verses, it just says all the demigods' wives, they were so impressed by Queen Archie that they all of them started showering flowers. So this is the act what she did. Hare Krishna. So I will ask Kavichandra Maharaj on this subject. You have been with Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, one thing is, I knew Indian gentlemen quite some time ago, maybe 30, 40 years ago, that were like 60, 70 years old. He told me when he was like 16, his grandfather said, "I'm dying and I want to see you married. Here's the name of two girls, but pick one." So he did. And he's still married, but and the wife wouldn't eat until he finished eating, and if he was sick and fasting, the wife would fast. But also, so many men, they couldn't eat except their wife's cooking. They just get sick, So the first is the mother, but nowadays, India, I think, is becoming the same way. The mother doesn't cook for the children. She just gives them some money for the, some restaurant or something. They spend it on the game center. And the husband is eating out in restaurants all the time. So they don't get that kind of attachment. So it's easy to break up. The only attachment's for the gross sense gratification. So many factors are working on people. But just go above that same mentality, there's so many people, they get initiated, but then they have that same mentality. If the guru does something I don't like, then I'll find another one. I heard from some other guru different. Maybe I go there, you know. So this commitment is very important, that the vows of marriage in America, it used to be, now I don't know if they take them, you know, I will love and serve in sickness and in health and money and poor until death part us and all these things, you know, and people, many people tried to do that, you know, but I don't know anymore. Many people, they don't make any vow, they just get married or they just say, okay, we'll do this or that. And so, like you said, there's no sanctity, but it's not only in marriage, it's in everything. You know, there's no loyalty to parents, to the gurus, to the society. So we're very fortunate that we have some understanding, and if we can take it, that's very good. I don't think we'd want to have wives jumping on the fire. That would be very bad in this age. Because even a husband would want the wife to go on serving Krishna, you know, because they're going to be with Krishna. These wives, they wanted to be with their husband, so they would just go with him. And they said they didn't feel the pain of the fire or anything. More painful to be separated. It's an inconceivable thing. But anyway, your points are very, very good. And we should be dedicated to the guru if you're married to the wife, because for the children it's so important. I've seen in America, back when I was a kid, they had this live TV show, Divorce Court. Mm-hmm. Radhana Swami mentioned it once in a class. He said it was worse than any, you know, Palestine, Israeli, or, you know, the fighting. You did this, and I didn't do it, you liar, she's a liar, I know he's a liar. And then after all that, the judge says to the children, do you want to go with your mother or your father? And the kids are like, and then the husband says, I don't want anything to do with her kids. You know, I mean, this is a true story. So you see how people are just, all they care about is their own sense gratification. You know? So we're very fortunate to be pulled out from that and try to uplift people. So we have to spread the holy name, because no other way is until it purifies the consciousness of the world, people get uplifted so they can think of something beyond their immediate demands of the senses. You know? Right? So Harinam Sankirtan Kincha. Well, here is Harinam all the time because so many people come and then getting all this Krishna Katha. So we need just whatever we can do to uplift people. Then they won't change. All right? Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Raj.
So if you're going to get married, make sure you understand why you're getting married. It's a lifetime commitment.
This topic was... But of course, this is a knowledge which brahmacharis also should know about it. If there is any other questions?
I met with a bunch of Matajis in Sweden one time. They said that brahmacharis make the worst husbands. You know, it's not like that anymore, but it was. They were taught women are Maya, you know, this, that, and then they get lusty, they want to get married. And then they hate women. It's pretty rough on the marriage, you know. But they're lusty, they have children, but they can't stay together, and then even in our society. Now it's much better, but that was some many years ago.
You can correct me, once Prabhupada in the assembly where there were ladies were there and the men were there, and Prabhupada made a very historical statement. He said, all the ladies should get married and all the men should remain brahmacharis.
Yeah.
I mean, this was, how do you understand that? You said all the ladies should get married and all the men should remain brahmacharis. So then you can correct, because I asked what Prabhupada exactly meant is, yes, all women should get married, but the men who get married, they also should live a very strict life of following the rules. And that's what Prabhupada wanted. So he said,
right,
all should remain.
They should be grihastha brahmachari.
Something like that.
Yeah, they should be brahmachari, brahman. They should not be just getting married for sense gratification.
Yeah, yeah.
They should be. And, you know, women nowadays, so much comes on the internet, you know, devotee women. Men just quote a few things from Prabhupada, the wife has to be protected by the man. But the man is protected by the woman either, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
See that? It should be that the man, he's attracted to, I mean, it's very difficult to go out in the world and work, and especially nowadays, all the girls are dressed like prostitutes. It used to be you could recognize a prostitute by the way they dress, but now you can't. They all dress the same. And it's really crazy. But he'll remember, no, my wife, and she's cooked dinner, and she's so nice when I come home, and the house is comfortable.
Yeah.
And he'll go home and everything. But if he gets home and the wife says, I'm tired, and what, you know, I've been, you know, you just go out and party all day, and I want to go to a restaurant, and, you know, I didn't cook today, and then, so the wife is protecting the man, and she gives sense gratification. She gives the children, takes care of the children. So if the man has any decency, he'll be attracted. It's not like the wife is just a slave and kept in a box, and the man feeds her, and therefore she's dedicated. It's a trade-off, you know. She has to take, like you said, how much, if they were getting a salary, it would have to be like gigantic salary. A housewife. There's stories like that. The man comes home every night, and the house is all neat and clean and everything, and he's telling, what do you do all day? I've been working all day, and what do you do all day? So one day she didn't do anything. So the husband comes home, and the kids' toys are everywhere in the driveway, and the whole house is a total mess, and there's no dinner, and the kids are screaming. And he says, what happened? She said, I didn't do the things I normally do, you know. Constant, last one to sleep, and often have to get up in the night for different reasons. So, but many can appreciate it, but have to have a higher consciousness. All right?
If anyone...
Anyone else?
Matajis want to, because the subject is focused on mothers. Any question, which thing that...
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
Thank you for the nice class. Very mysterious subject matter for the brahmacharis, but you very nicely explained. So, Prabhuji, sometimes we do get asked by some devotee matajis that how much we should tolerate a kind of, you may say, domestic violence or harsh words or something like that, and then we generally recommend that you should go to the grihastha and take counseling. But is it like we have to tolerate everything, or what is, when it is too much that we have to?
I think Premila knows about many such cases she has handled, which is, yes, true, it is common. But what we have experienced is many times the conflict is actually issues are purely material. It is nothing spiritual. So easily it can be with some mediation. The issues are not so serious, but if not attended, they go for. Now the question comes about violence. So if a woman is abused by her husband and there is a danger to her life, we can't tell her that you should be submissive and stay with him. That means there is some psychological problem with the man. You can't stay with a crazy person. So to save our life, that is a time you can, to save your life, that permission is given to, you can say, to save a life. So to how much can you tolerate? That's why I said most of the time the issues are something. But if there is a domestic violence, obviously, which we don't, it's an aparadh. Maharaj wants to say.
Prabhupada said one time, if the man is beating, she should leave.
Yes, Maharaj.
If the man is, you know, violent, physically violent, she should leave.
Should leave.
No, because you tolerate a little, you're going to get more, that's all. This is nice. I can do whatever I want. No, it's a horrible, horrible thing, and it's so common in this Kali Yuga. Because men are so agitated, so lusty, you know, the world is so agitated. So, but they should immediately, you know, I'd never really heard of it when I was a kid, and I didn't believe it. Some of my friends were telling me I didn't believe it, you know, that, but I was visiting one temple, and somehow I had a radio. Somebody gave me a cassette player with a radio, and I turned on the radio just out of curiosity, and it was a Christian show about domestic violence, and it was right at the end, and the message was, tell somebody, you know, don't go and tell some authority, somebody. In America now, if they call the police and the police come, they take the man away. And they tell him, if this happens again, you're never going to get out of jail. So but it's helped a little bit. But most women are afraid because they don't know how they'll live without the husband. And he says, if you tell anybody, I'm going to beat you worse. So it's a whole standard thing, you know. And even amongst devotees, it's a horrible, horrible thing. So that's why we need counseling and before marriage and, you know, long before marriage, people have to be civilized, you know. Some women learn martial arts. Really. Many women are at the martial arts classes so they can beat up their husband. And sometimes they do it. But that's not a very, you know, very good. But hopefully amongst devotees, but unfortunately it does happen. They say India is one of the worst places.
Yes.
India and Muslim countries.
There are some countries listed. Domestic violence. So India is not on the first, but it is there.
One report I saw, that main reason is the woman is earning more money than the man, and then he has to prove his superiority. But that's not always it. Man is somebody's crazy.
Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj ki. Hare Krishna.